It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it's time for us to talk about hunting and fishing like we've done here on KETR for many years. And who better to talk hunting and fishing with than our old buddy David Hansen right over here at Tewakinee. We're going to talk with David about all the awesome blue catfishing that's going on and who knows what else. David, thank you for being here, bud.
Oh, man, it's just good to be here with you, Luke, and talk about the thing we love.
Well, I'm telling you what, you are talking to not only old Luke here, but a lot of your friends right here on KETR, right up here in Northeast Texas, folks. It would really be interesting to know how many people are around our campfire here this morning that's fished with you. And I know I've got a lot of friends myself up in Northeast Texas through the years that I've got to know. But the truth is, right now, if you were to look at a calendar and say a year ago and look at a calendar and say, okay, I want the very primo prime time for catching blue catfish, it would really be somewhere about right now, wouldn't it?
Yes, this is the peak. And this peak will stay with us plumb into, you know, March, end of March, first of April. We're in the prime time to catch the biggest fish of the year.
There is absolutely no doubt about that. One thing that I want to do is hook people up with you and Facebook. You know, Facebook has become an awesome tool for people to stay connected, and you post pictures on just about many of your trips right after the trip. And, you know, they can look at those big 40 to 60-pound blues and see what you're doing, can't they?
Yes, sir. You can follow me daily, and you can always message me and ask questions, or just feel free to contact me anytime and talk about what we're doing and, you know, how it's going and everything.
That's the part of a good guide. What I don't care what you're doing, if it's hunting elk or catching catfish, before somebody wants to, there's a lot of information that they need, especially on a winter blue catfishing trip. Questions like, how should I dress? And that's kind of a day-to-day thing this time of year. It might be 40 degrees one day and, you know, 70 the next. So, but being comfortable when you're out there on a winter fishing trip is key to having a good time. You know, you have to dress for the day, don't you?
Oh, yes. It is so important. And actually, the way I tell the folks is, don't listen to the weatherman. Listen to me. Because that weatherman don't know what it's going to be like. He'll tell you what the weather's going to be, but it's always different out there on that water. As far as temperature, it's colder. You have to be prepared with rain gear, number one. If you don't have your rain gear on, even though the weatherman says it's not going to rain, you're on a lake, you can get splashed at any moment.
And getting splashed in that cold air is, you know, it can get cold.
But you'll be miserable. I mean, and it's, you know, Monday. This just a week or so ago, I had some boys from your hometown down here, and I told them, you know, be prepared. Well, they showed up. Two of them didn't have rain gear, and one of them did. And guess what? It rained the biggest part of the trip.
Yep. That's a good point. The majority of the times, if it's bad weather, you don't go out. I mean, if it's dangerous, you don't take people out on the water. I know that. But there are days when, you know, you need to dress for whatever. But most of the time, honestly, that I fished with you bunches of times in the last 20 years, I guess, 15, whatever. But most of the time, it's very pleasant out there. I mean, you know, it's really, it might be, oh, it might be 50 degrees or it might be 70, but a winter fishing trip is not an endurance contest necessarily, but just think about the way you dress. Now, you have started employing a little bit different program, planer boards, And explain those to folks. Now, planer boards, I've used striper fishing on lakes like Ouachita and Hamilton up in the northern area, those big lakes. They're real common. But, David, you're the first person I know that's employed planer boards in catfishing, you know?
Well, it's been going on. I've been reading about it, and, you know, you got to teach them old dogs new tricks, and some of them don't want to learn, but I'm all about using new techniques and learning and everything else. And this, with these planer boards, you can run, depending on your wind, you can run as many as two sets. That'd be six planer boards. Normally, I'm covering about a 20-foot span. I can cover up to a 200-foot span if I get them things out there far enough. And by doing that, you're increasing your chances tremendously.
You are. More baits in the water, which is the name of the game on catfishing. The baits are drifting, you know, with the Santee rig, folks, and a little floater just above the bait to keep the bait up, and you can just picture that bait floating along the bottom, just kind of drifting along, and that floater keeping it up where an old catfish, you know, everybody thinks catfish are right on the bottom. Well, I'm here to tell you a blue catfish is not, there's more caught suspended, I know, David, up, you know, than right on the bottom, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so that's a new technique for me. It certainly is. And I've been seeing these pictures on Facebook, David. I mean, it's working. And the fact is, you're putting several more rods, like you said, more baits, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I'm normally run six rods. Now I can run 10 and have them spread out from here to yonder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's almost doubling your chances.
Mm-hmm.
Are you... Is the hookups got to be increasing? I would think.
Yes, you are. With that many more baits in the water, you know, it's putting more fish in the boat. I'm not going to say they're any bigger, of course.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
But the average numbers are going up.
You bet. You know, David, myself and probably many of our listeners, we're all about the pull on the line. We like to catch a big fish, but also like to eat fish, especially blue catfish. I think you and I are probably on the same line on this, but to me, my favorite fish, there's two fish that I love all fish. I like any kind of fish to fry. The fried up is good. But a blue catfish, especially out in the wintertime, out of that cold, clean water up at Tewakinney, that is probably my favorite. There's another fish, a yellow bass, that a lot of people say, oh, yeah, you bar fish. Well, I'm going to tell you, a yellow bass is awesome filleted. It's sweeter than crappie. It's not like sand. There's really no bloodline in yellow bass. But those two are really good. Now, a lot of our people listening that want to go fishing, they probably would like to take some fillets back. It's common to catch some smaller fish, isn't it, that you can fillet and take home and eat?
Yes, sir. This time of year, the head count isn't real high on eaters, but we still get plenty for you to have a good fish fry and to take home.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're running big baits now, so that kind of, you know, my small fish have been running 8 and 10 pounds.
Right, right.
And most everything is, you know, that over that. And, but we keep those and fillet them up, and that meat turns white as a powder house. And, you know, and people think catfish is tasting fishy. These blue cat, clean properly, washed, and done right, you can't even smell them cooking in the house.
I know that's the fact. Speaking of cooking fish, and I'll say and game, you know where I'm going, David, because I love to hunt hogs and I love to make ham. But... up on our folks, David is our camp manager up in Colorado on our elk hunts. You know, he plans and prepares the dinners and the breakfast and everything. And last year I made a bunch of breakfast sausage from Wild Hogs, which was very good. But I mean, I'm not bragging. Anybody can do it that follows the procedure, you know. But I also cure a lot of ham from wild hogs. The back straps, I remove all of the silver meat on them, you know, the sinew, rub them with the cure, and then pack them with brown sugar for about a week, and then cold smoke them. But, you know, David, wild hogs and ham at home is something I've taught a lot of people or instructed them how to do it, and everybody said, I don't know why I hadn't been doing this a long time. It's really simple, but my dad used to cure hogs, domestic hogs, when I was a kid. And, you know, it was a procedure, man. It was a lot of work the way they did it back then. But now, anybody that can get, you do need a cure, and folks can go, it's not available everywhere. I don't use the strong, salty cures. I use a sugar cure, and you can order for about $6 or so, Butcher Packer Supply. People ask me, where do you find this? Simply just go to butcher-packer.com, and you can find the cures. You can't find it locally. Now, the salty type cures that everybody knows about, you can, but I found the sugar cures a whole lot better, David. Actually, mm-hmm. I shot a young boar, two, 3 days ago at night by my house, and I've got the meat curing right there. Something anybody can do, and I think you can testify to the fact that it is pretty good eating, you know?
It's not just pretty good. It'll make your tongue beat your brains out.
And what I'm saying, please don't think I'm bragging on this, because the fact is, anybody that can rub a cure on a piece of clean, sterile backstrap and put it in a Ziploc bag with some brown sugar and wait 6 or 7 days, anybody can do it if you got some kind of electric smoker, and cut it on about 150 and let it smoke for 3 or 4 hours. It doesn't have to smoke a long time. It's already cured. But then put that meat in another Ziploc bag and throw it back in the refrigerator, and it kind of continues to mellow. The flavor does. It's pretty good eating. Well, David, this back to our fishing. we'll talk hunting and fishing both today. But this bite, this red hot blue catfish bite, it's at its peaked right now. How long would you predict that this will stay like this?
It's going to get better and be peaking for at least into April. I mean, what we'll do is we'll keep catching these big fish steady. Here in about middle of March, about spring break time is the way I look at it, we start getting more numbers on eating fish, and you're still catching the big fish with the days get longer, warmer water, and it actually gets better.
And I've been with you, fished with you through the years. I've seen that happen. We have time to connect everybody with you. Facebook, just like David Hansen, and he'll keep you tuned in. David, what is a good number for folks to give you a call? And they're going to have questions before they go fishing, and that's a good way to reach you.
You can reach me anytime at 903-268-7391.
Well, David, I tell you what, here in a couple of 3 weeks, I want to get you back, and I want to keep everybody up here in Northeast Texas, or let you keep everybody tuned in on this trophy bite, and good fishing to you. Stay warm and keep hauling them in, buddy.
Well, I'll do my best, and the same to you, Luke.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.